Why does God allow children to get cancer? Why do good people get killed in car accidents? Why do innocent people get murdered in drive-by shootings? Why doesn't God always answer our prayers? Why at times does it seem that God is ignoring us when we're trapped in the pit of despair? What do we do when God just doesn't seem to make sense? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
How can I trust God when many times He just doesn't seem to make sense? Have you ever felt that way? We'll be discussing that subject today on Good News Radio. And joining us in the Good News Radio studio is a minister from the United Church of God, Tom Kirkpatrick, who lives in the Cincinnati, Ohio area. Tom, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Gary. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
Okay, well, let's start with the most important question. If we believe in God, how involved is He in the lives of people? Have we been sort of left here on planet Earth to sort this out for ourselves?
No, Gary, not at all. In this regard, the most fundamental understanding we need is that God has a plan. He has a purpose in having created mankind and in His dealings with people. And He is going to accomplish His purpose. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24, it says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand." And then later, Gary, in chapter 43 of Isaiah, verse 13, God says simply, "I work, and who will reverse it?" In other words, God knows what He's doing. He has a plan, and He's going to carry it out. We as human beings, the created, need simply to embrace the notion in our lives that God is the center of the universe. We are not. He is. Ultimately, what matters is, does it make sense to God? Is it according to His will and plan? Not, does it make sense to us? So back to your question, Gary. No, we don't have to work things out ourselves, because in a very real sense, they're already worked out. What we need, and this is very difficult for us humans, but what we need is simply the humility and the willingness to submit to God's sovereignty and the patience to trust Him, to come to believe and embrace the reality that we as individuals and mankind as a race are in the hands of a good and faithful Creator, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19.
Okay, but on a personal level, why doesn't God always answer our prayers? We believe, we have faith, and yet it seems like sometimes there's just no answer.
Well, Gary, I think the Bible reveals several answers. Three of them come to mind. First, what we ask in our prayers may not be according to God's will. Now, if that's the case, we should not expect God to go against His own nature or His own standard or His will to do something that we ask. Secondly, the thing we ask in prayer may be fine, may be according to God's will, but He may decide that later is better than now, as far as giving us the answer. And again, I say, should we question His timing? Should the created question the timing of the Creator? We're better off simply trusting God to graciously grant good things, including answers to our prayers, when He knows it is best. And then the third thing, Gary, He may not answer because He may have chosen not to hear. Now, this is a thing that we don't really like to contemplate, but the Bible does show us that people's sins and rebellion against God can cut them off from Him so that their prayers are not heard by Him. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 says as much. Let me quote that. But your iniquities, that is, breaking God's holy laws, have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Now, there may be other reasons, but by studying the Bible, we can come to at least those three as to why God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we want them, when we want them.
Okay, but even when we feel sometimes as human beings that God is answering a prayer, sometimes it just doesn't make sense.
Agreed. And the longer a person knows God, deals with God, the more true your rhetorical question is, Gary. But you know, the problem in that case is with me. It's not with God. If it doesn't make sense to me, I need to be very careful that I don't ascribe blame or deficiency to God. The problem is with me.
With our limitations.
With my limitation, with my understanding, with my patience, perhaps with my decisions I'm making as to whether he will be very prompt to answer my prayer at that time.
Well, maybe you can then share a personal example of a time in your life when God just didn't seem to make sense.
Well, we only have a 30-minute program, Gary, so it'd be hard to state them all. But, you know, I think perhaps you and I and many people who are striving to serve God could share sort of the generic case when it just seems that God allows evil to prevail, either in our society, in our culture, perhaps even in our circle of friends and acquaintances. And we leave it in God's hands, and it seems like he is allowing evil or wrong behavior to be gotten away with. And, you know, at that time, it's good to open the Bible and read both Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. I find that those are two of the most comforting ones in this regard. And it's easy to remember, 37 and 73, because in both cases, a servant of God was struggling with this. Why does God let the bad guys get away with it? And in both cases, the person on reflection and in deep prayer came to it, you know, in the long run, nobody gets away with anything. God is very merciful. He's very slow to anger. But he will act, and we should be patient and wait for him to do that. So I think we've all experienced that. I know I certainly have.
How do we deal with situations where God seems to have abandoned us or when his answers seem arbitrary? We'll be back to discuss these and other difficult questions right after this information about the literature offered on today's program.
Our world is experiencing a crisis of faith. Few people place much faith in the future. Many have no faith that their marriages will survive, that political leaders will honorably serve their country, or that education will prepare them adequately for the challenges ahead. Faced with the difficulties of everyday life, many people simply have no confidence that there will be a better tomorrow. At the same time, many people view the values and promises of the Bible as judgmental and archaic. Even for professing Christians, religion is often superficial. You need to request a copy of our easy-to-read 30-page booklet, You Can Have Living Faith. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Have Living Faith, you can discover God's promises to you found in the pages of your Bible. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were discussing personal experiences when God's intervention or lack of intervention just didn't make sense. Tom, you were talking about times in your life when God just didn't seem to make sense.
Right, and there are many of them, but again, I think, Gary, we find great comfort in just leaving things that we don't understand in God's hand and trusting Him in the long run to do things according to His plan. He tells us in advance He's going to work His plan out, so it's good for us just to many times relax and trust Him.
Easier said than done.
Admittedly.
Okay, a biblical personage in a situation where God's solution didn't make sense.
Gary, there are several that come to mind. I think probably the prototype, in fact, he's called the father of the faithful, is Abraham. We have an incredible saga of God appearing to Abraham without Abraham really initiating it, and God says to Abraham, I'm going to do something special with you and with your progeny. The only problem is Abraham didn't have any progeny. He and his wife Sarai had not been given any children. But God makes this promise. And then year after year after year goes by, and no child is born to Abraham and Sarah. You've got to believe that in that long, dry period of waiting, Abraham had to say, what's going on here? God, you make this promise. I didn't initiate it. You did. And now I don't see an answer. But then Abraham did, and Sarah did, as we're too often tempted to do, and that is, well, God needs my help to work out His plan. And so Abraham and Sarah came up with a plan that they said, surely this must be what God had in mind, and they took steps to work it out on their own. And those of our listeners who are familiar with the story in Genesis are familiar with the whole Hagar and Ishmael story, where Abraham and Sarah said, we'll work it out our own. We'll get this promised seed by doing what we can do rather than just trusting in God. Well, God says, no, that's not the promised seed. It's not going to be Ishmael. It's going to be a son of your and Sarah's body, not of your and Hagar's union. Well, then more time goes on, and we come to now the point of impossibility. In the mind of Abraham, it's impossible for now God to fulfill the promise because now Sarah passes menopause. She is not able to have children after this long wait. And again, Abraham's faith in God's promise is tested. And you got to believe, Gary, he's saying, God, where are you? What about your promise? Have you lost your touch? Are you still able to do what you said? But then the ultimate miracle, the miracle of Isaac's birth, the son of promise. But you know, there's one more part to this wonderful story of faith and the struggle of Abraham to trust God. The most inscrutable, the most unfathomable development of all, after Isaac is born, after the fulfillment of this miraculous promise, God appears to Abraham and says, now you've got to sacrifice your son. You've got to take the life of this son of promise. In Abraham's mind, this must have just been nonsense. How can I believe in a God who would do that, who would go against his own promise? But by this time, Abraham is able to fight off those darts of the wicked, as it talks about in the New Testament, the fiery darts of lack of faith and of questioning God, even though it did not make sense. Your premise, your question today, Gary, when God doesn't make sense, how much sense could it have been made? Could it have made to Abraham to now sacrifice the only means by which God's promise could be fulfilled? It make no sense, but in faith, he said, I'll do it. I'll take God at his word. And he did. He was willing to sacrifice his son. And then, of course, again, as our listeners who read the Bible know, God prevented him from actually carrying a few. But God wanted to know, from carrying through on this act, he wanted to know, was Abraham willing to trust God ultimately when it did not make sense? We're reminded of what Paul said over in Romans chapter 11 in this regard. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. Gary, there are times when we just have to trust God that he knows what he's doing, whether it makes any sense at all to us.
I find it fascinating that in the New Testament it talks about how Abraham believed that his son would be resurrected. He thought God was going to carry out this impossibility, not only by giving him a son that he couldn't have, but by resurrecting a son that he told him to kill. Now, that's a remarkable trust.
Which of us, Gary, if I could just add on, which of us would have ever thought it out to do it that way? That's why Paul says we're dealing with a mind way deeper and far greater in wisdom than we would ever be able to match.
Do you have a favorite story in the Scripture where someone has to do something that doesn't make sense from God, you know, from their viewpoint with God?
Well, Gary, it's not a story that most people spend a lot of time thinking about, but it is one of my favorites because it brings us up short, I think, in a good way. When we think we've got God all figured out, it's time to go to the story of the naked prophet. Gary, it's a story that, as I say, it takes us up short because we say, why would God call an individual to be his prophet and then, as one of the duties of the prophet in serving God, have to walk around without any clothes on for several years? But that's actually what we find in Isaiah chapter 20. Now, again, God has a purpose. He knows what he's doing. And sometimes he spends the lives of his servants as he chooses to, not the way that they would choose to be spent. But here we have Isaiah asked to take off his clothes and walk around as a sign, barefoot and naked, for 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia. You can only imagine if you're Isaiah and God has revealed all these fantastic revelations to you, that, and then you've taken the word of God to your generation and to generations on beyond, and then about the time you're feeling pretty good about yourself, God says, now I have another job for you for 3 years. As a sign, I want you to walk around naked, barefoot, as a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia. And in Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 4, it says, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Egyptians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. If you're Isaiah and you're serving God, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense to you at the time. But again, does God know what he's doing when he makes requests of us?
Sort of a warning to people who desire to be prophets?
I would think so. Yes.
Let's just wrap up. What are some of the most important lessons that can give us hope in times of despair when God seems to be uninvolved?
Gary, actually, very simply, I would summarize it this way. Number one, trust God. He knows what he's doing. And second, believe that God is good. It's one thing to say God is strong and he will accomplish his will, but come to know that God is good and he has our best eternal interest in heart. Then, to paraphrase, we can put up with anything. We can do anything that God asks us because we are in the hands of a good and a faithful Creator.
Well, Tom, we really appreciate you for joining us today on Good News Radio.
Thank you, Gary.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Our world is experiencing a crisis of faith. Few people place much faith in the future. Many have no faith that their marriages will survive, that political leaders will honorably serve their country, or that education will prepare them adequately for the challenges ahead. Faced with the difficulties of everyday life, many people simply have no confidence that there will be a better tomorrow. At the same time, many people view the values and promises of the Bible as judgmental and archaic. Even for professing Christians, religion is often superficial. You need to request a copy of our easy-to-read 30-page booklet, You Can Have Living Faith. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Have Living Faith, you can discover God's promises to you found in the pages of your Bible. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the good news behind the headlines.
Jesus had a special relationship with a man from Bethany named Lazarus. Jesus was preaching in a nearby town when Lazarus' friends arrived to inform him that Lazarus was very ill. Jesus then did something that made no sense to anyone who knew Lazarus. Instead of rushing to the side of his sick friend, he stayed where he was for 2 days. We pick up the story in John chapter 11, verse 11. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, get one and follow along. Jesus says, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Imagine the thoughts that went through the mind of Christ's disciples. He performed miracles wherever he went, but deliberately delayed going to his friend who was seriously ill. He had allowed Lazarus to die so that the disciples may believe. Jesus arrives in Bethany and is confronted by Martha, Lazarus' sister. She is perplexed by Jesus' delay. His actions towards his friend just don't make any sense. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Then Lazarus' other sister, Mary, sees Jesus, and she says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Have you ever struggled with great loss and cried out that if God would have just intervened, these bad things would not have happened? Jesus became so overwhelmed by the grief of those around him that John records that he wept with them. John also records how Jesus then resurrected Lazarus from the dead as proof that he was Messiah. Lazarus' death had been allowed by God as part of a greater plan to reveal his son. When most of us are suffering, the outcome isn't as dramatic or immediate. But during the dark days of Lazarus' illness and death, they did not know what the outcome would be either. All they had during those times of despair was a faith that God hadn't abandoned them and that Lazarus would someday be resurrected from the dead. Faith, you see, is more than just belief in God. It is the trust that he is always acting for the ultimate eternal good of every human being who believes in him. If you're trying to understand God, but life's problems seem overwhelming, you need to call this toll-free number for your free copy of You Can Have Living Faith. The number is 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. The call is free. The booklet is free. The answers you discover may change your life. And where can you look for encouragement when life seems to be out of control? Well, if you're hooked up to the internet, you'll want to search the Virtual Christian Magazine. Every month, you'll find articles that deal with the practical aspects of trying to live a Christian life in this complicated and hostile world in which we live. You can read the current issue of Virtual Christian Magazine, as well as search the archives of past issues simply by logging in at vcmagazine.org. vcmagazine.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, it's up to you. Join us next time where we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Our world is experiencing a crisis of faith. Few people place much faith in the future. Many have no faith that their marriages will survive, that political leaders will honorably serve their country, or that education will prepare them adequately for the challenges ahead. Faced with the difficulties of everyday life, many people simply have no confidence that there will be a better tomorrow. At the same time, many people view the values and promises of the Bible as judgmental and archaic. Even for professing Christians, religion is often superficial. You need to request a copy of our easy-to-read 30-page booklet, You Can Have Living Faith. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Have Living Faith, you can discover God's promises to you found in the pages of your Bible. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.